You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and John Hawksworth.
Welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Hideki Matsuyama claims a stunning victory at the WGC HSBC Champions.
Hideki comes of age in Shanghai and the star shines brightly over Japan tonight. They have their first World Golf Champion, but simply, no one was in his class.
And we'll hear from the 24-year-old later in the programme. Henrik Stenson tied for second. His 16-under par was enough to see him move into first place in the Race to Dubai.
It's going to be tight all the way to the end, and that's the way we like it. And it'd be nice to come into the last one knowing that if you win in Dubai, you win the overall. So, I'm going to try and put some more good golf out there and some more birdies.
We will review all the action from Shanghai as well as look ahead to the first event of the European Tour final series, the Turkish Airlines Open. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me is John Hawksworth. John, good to have you back.
Hello, Rob, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. An impressive win for Matsuyama. Oh, yeah.
23 under par, the record was 24 by Johnston, but he'd a few bogeys in the week, but I thought he was so impressive. And also tried to change his putting stroke a little bit.
I actually noticed it was different because his swing's got a pause at the top, a definite pause.
Yeah.
And the putting stroke had that as well.
Yeah.
It looked much more back and through one motion this time.
He's trying to shorten his backstroke, to get the putter moving a little bit more. I think it's still a work in progress, but he held some fantastic putts, hit some brilliant iron shots and drove the ball brilliantly, I thought.
Yeah, he said he just wanted to go out in the last round and... and you know what they always say, we'll just see how it goes and I'm not going to think about winning yet. This was on Saturday.
Yeah.
It couldn't have worked out more perfectly for him.
No.
Some big names up there.
There were some big names up there who were all playing well as well, but he managed to fend them all off. And in the end, it was a really easy victory.
His first victory in the European Tour.
Yeah.
Won't be his last.
First Asian to win a WGC.
Yeah.
He is the full deal, I think, this guy. He's only in his early 20s. Big lad, strong, very flexible.
You know, in his rookie year on the Japanese tour, I'm pretty sure he won five times.
Yeah,
you know,
amazing.
If you're looking for an indicator as, you know, who might be a superstar, well, you can do something like that. You've got a great chance in the world of golf.
Well, they used to go on about Ishikawa, didn't they? He hasn't stepped up to the mark, but this guy certainly has. And I think Hideki's going to be around for a long, long time. I like the way he plays the game. I think he's got a great technique.
Hideki's birdie at the first, John, was a signal to everyone else.
Yep, going out with a decent lead. You would be slightly nervous starting off and got off to the perfect start. In round one, he actually bogeyed the first. And I think he made no more than six over the whole week. So to shoot 23 under, made an amazing par at the last, having found the water. But he'd shots in hand, but he just never let up, bogey free in the final round. In fact, I think he went 45 holes without a bogey.
He did, that's right. Stenson played very well, matching Matthew Fitzpatrick's 65, but couldn't quite make up the ground.
No, a lot of money to play for, but you were never going to overhaul him, especially the way he was playing.
Course was quite damp, wasn't it? They'd had a lot of rain.
They'd had the driest summer for 130 years. I don't know if anybody was there that remembered it. But then they had 5 inches of rain prior to the event. And I think it probably did the course a favour because it would have been so bouncy. The greens would have been really tough. Golf course changes elevation quite a bit. It's tree line, quite a bit of water on it, but it softened it up. And they, they ripped it to bits, really.
Rory was looking quite tasty.
He was, but he missed some putts, I thought, through the week to finish top five. He didn't putt as well as he could do. I mean, he's great from tee to green. He just doesn't hole perhaps as many as he should do. Russell Knox, I mean, what a putter he is.
Yeah, well, he's a defending champion and, you know, had himself in position with a round to go to a crack, yeah.
Not one of the longest, hit a lot of good utility clubs in, but the way he puts, he's a little bit like Zach Johnson, hand position further back than you'd probably teach, but he rolls the ball and releases the putter head so well. Didn't quite work out in the final round, but a good defence.
Matsuyama, having a go at that last green in two with a fairway wood, pitched it in the middle of the lake. Well, actually, it ended up in the middle of the lake, but it bounced off the bank, and he still made five by holding a, 15, 18-footer?
Well, they weren't sure where it had landed because there was some pampas grass went round the hazard, and they'd drawn the line round it, but it definitely hadn't crossed the line, so he had to go back and then come across the water again, then hold it from, 15, 18 feet to save his par at the last, and 45 holes without a bogey is impressive round there.
Yeah, very good. And do you think he's deceptively long, Matsuyama?
Oh, I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I love that pause at the top and then he just hammers down on it and hits a lot of quality shots.
Yeah, he's a very good player, a very good young player. Gosh, 24, you think of how many good 24, 25-year-olds are now in the world of golf. Amazing. Rory, in the end, finished fourth because he lipped out the last and that would have been a tie for second.
Well, he missed from 2 feet for birdie. He'd got it on the front, three-putted the last. There was a few bogey the last. Ross Fisher, unfortunately, bogeyed it. But many of them, you know, did make birdie. The closing three holes are good. Drivable par 4, 16 with the water down.
Yeah, that's
the
a fun hole, isn't it?
That's a good hole. 17's a good par 3 where Kuchar held in one earlier in the week. And then 18, if you get it off the tee, you get a shoot off the downslope and you can have a go at the green.
Well, let's hear from the latest winner in the European Tour, Hideki Matsuyama.
It's a great victory for me, and hopefully this will be a good victory and a great victory for Japan and encourage others to play golf.
Of course, he's now the new hero in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And walks around with a massive entourage.
Yeah, I mean, he's massive news, isn't he? He's the first Asian to win
WGC.
A WGC event, and I think he could be the next Asian to win a major.
Well, it's his 10th victory as a pro. He gains his first WGC title in his 14th WGC appearance. He becomes the first Asian golfer to win an individual WGC event, as you just said, John. His winning margin of 7 is the largest in the history of the WGC HSBC champions. He becomes only the second Japanese player to win an official European Tour event following Aseo Aoki back in 1983, the European Open, and he gains his largest European Tour prize of 1.4 and change million euro.
Big check, isn't it? But he's a world-class player.
So majors ahead for Matsuyama?
Yeah, I think he's a good prospect for the Masters.
I remember he was in contention when Mickelson won at Muirfield a few years ago and he got a slow play penalty.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he got slow. Yes, he did. And he was, you know, so his game is transferable. He was able to play well at Muirfield in Lynx conditions. Very impressive young player. Well, let's hear from the man who finished second, tied runner-up to Matsuyama in Shanghai, Henrik Stenson.
Probably felt like I was playing better on the front nine yesterday than what I did today, but today I kept it going all the way to the end. I made some great putts for birdie, some good saves, and yeah, it was not a bogey on the scorecard. So, nice way to finish with a bogey 365.
Well, I appreciate the leader was so far in advance, but did you set yourself target, got to finish second here?
Well, I mean, I'm chasing Danny on the race to Dubai, and so is Rory. And, so I could see Rory was going at it, and so I just try to keep up. And it was nice to sneak that one in on the last to go one ahead of him.
Well, the big finish from Henrik Stenson means, of course, John, he's now top of the Race to Dubai with, what, 3 events in the final series left?
Yes, he is. It was an impressive performance. We mentioned that you weren't really going to catch Hideki, but for Stenson to do that, yeah, he leapfrogs Danny Willett now by, well, it's under €300,000, but
It depends who plays what, doesn't it, you know, in the next 3 events.
So absolutely, most
players don't play all of them, so we'll see what the story is. Rory said he was pretty satisfied with his week as well.
You know, it felt like I played pretty good golf, and, you know, when I got it going, I was able to make some birdies and just not as many as I had to.
What is the approach when you start a final day knowing that the leader is so far advanced?
Just try and shoot the best score that you possibly can. That's it. There's not really anything else you can do, and you can't control what anyone else does. So, I mean, if, you know, I would go out there today and shoot the best that I can, you know, and see where that ends up. There's always something to play for, even if you're not trying to, you know, if you don't think you can win the tournament, there's still points up for grabs and everything else. So, you know, that's what I was playing for today.
Rory's third in the Race to Dubai. 3 events left in the final series. 1 million points or so behind Henrik Stenson. Can he catch him?
It's going to take some pretty special golf, and you can't see Stenson playing badly. He loves that course in Dubai. At the top at the moment, it's a big...
He's not too shabby at the Gary Player Country Club either.
No, he's not. So it's a big quest, really, for McIlroy to try and gain his fourth Race to Dubai title.
You know, he's very much troughs and peaks, in my view, working up towards another peak. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. The one thing with Rory is he's not great at winning scruffy. Tiger was brilliant at winning when he wasn't at his best. Rory, I don't think, quite has that. When he's on, he's absolute mustard, and I don't think anybody really touches him when it's all gelled together, the putting and playing. For me, he just didn't hole enough putts this week. He hit some fantastic shots, though. So he's got a new driver in the bag, hasn't he?
So what I'm saying is that, do you agree or not agree?
I agree.
You think he's? I think he's making his way back up to the world number one spot.
I agree with you. Yeah, I think the way he plays the game, and he's going through some equipment changes which seem to be suiting him. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, be an interesting watch, as he always is, Rory. He's very much box office. Well, another of those to enjoy an impressive week was Ross Fisher. The Englishman signed for a final round 68 to finish in tied 6th on 14 under par. And I'm delighted to say we can speak to the cash machine right now. Ross, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks, guys. How are you guys?
Yeah, very good. How's that lower part of your back? You know, sometimes when a wallet's so heavy in the back pocket, it puts your spine out of kilter.
Well, you know, everyone takes their cut, so it's getting a little bit lighter. But no, it's always nice to have good finishes and reflect on a good positive week.
It's a venue you like, isn't it?
Yeah, I seem to do quite well there. I've had a good experience there. Obviously, you know, back in 07, probably should have won. Unfortunately, didn't quite manage to hold on. And then, obviously, finishing tied third last year. So it's a place I always like going back to. It's a whole course I feel very, very happy on.
Your form is very good, Ross. You've had a couple of seconds back-to-back and you finished top 10 here at the WGC. You must be excited heading into the Race to Dubai, the final series.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's nice to be back where I feel like I belong, you know, contending in tournaments. You know, I've missed that, missed the buzz and missed the excitement. So, yeah, to narrowly lose out in Germany in a playoff and then to come close at the Dunfermline Links and then to put another good performance in sets me up well for the Nedbank and Race to Dubai.
What's been the difference then that's given you this form recently? You know, anything specific you've worked on?
No, confidence has always been there, but obviously, you know, with all the stuff that's happened with Nike, it's given the Nike guys opportunity to try different things. So I've made a couple of changes to my equipment, which whether that's been the key or not, I don't know, because I feel like my golf this year has been very, very steady. I've just not quite got the results that I feel like I should have got through good golf. So whether it has been the difference or not, it's difficult to say.
So you're going to play the Nedbank and the DP World Tour Championship. After that, when the Race to Dubai is finished, is that you until after Christmas or will you squeeze in one or two more?
No, that'll be me done. I'll probably have, I think it's almost close to 2 months off, which is very nice because normally we only get about 5 to 6 weeks off before Abu Dhabi starts. So not going to play anything, just going to enjoy some home time with Joe and the kids and family, enjoy Christmas, New Year, and then start back up probably 5-6 days practice in Dubai before Abu Dhabi.
So will you just leave the clubs alone? Is that not feel a little bit strange or is it a bit of a relief?
A bit of both, John, to be honest. I mean, I'm always someone that enjoys playing golf. I'm not a massive practicer. I always prefer to go out on the golf course, have fun with friends and go out for friendly games of golf. So it'll be difficult, but at the same time, I'm sure it's going to be probably, I would say, quite a cold and wet Christmas, I would guess, because the weather, obviously, in the UK is a bit hit and miss. So you never know. If we get some decent weather, I might pop out for the odd game or two. But no, it'd be nice to put the clubs away and not see them for a good sort of 3-4 weeks and then get back into it.
Where's Christmas going to be for you this year?
Christmas will be at Joe's mum and dad's house, so they're hosting for Christmas, so that'll be nice. And obviously, as you know, Christmas is all about the kids, so looking forward to spending it at home with Joe and our two kids.
And if I was Father Christmas, which of course I am, and I said, Ross Fisher, what would you like for Christmas? What would you say?
Probably just to keep contending in tournaments, you know, to win again. And I think maybe try and have another chance at winning major championships. I've experienced those many years ago and really enjoyed the experience, the thrill and the excitement of it. And feel like recently I've gone off the boil a little bit. But, you know, this year it's been a slow progression and, you know, form's been really good of late. So it'd be nice to finish the season off strong, have a nice rest and then try and pick up next year and get into those big events, the WGCs and the majors, and contend.
Where are you in the world rankings right now, Ross?
After yesterday, 69 now, so it's getting better. You know, I looked at my form and my results and stuff, and obviously saw I got to 17th in the world was my best back in 2009. So, you know, the signs are there. It's going in the right direction, but there's still a lot of hard work to be done to get back there. But it's definitely something that I'm willing to put the hard work in and dedicate myself to getting back to where I know I belong.
So you've got an enormous amount, really, to look forward to for next year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's always big tournaments to look forward to. Obviously, there's still two big ones to go this year. So hopefully if I can carry the form on and finish strong, you know, try and break into that top 50, which will guarantee me like stuff like the Masters next year. And obviously finish high on the Race to Dubai, get into the Open, the US Open, the WGCs. It makes the scheduling for next season a lot easier, whereas if you're not in those, it makes it a lot tougher and you have to I'd say, travelled to places that, you know, guys in the top 50 generally wouldn't travel to. So there's still a lot to play for these next two tournaments.
Well, Ross, thanks very much for taking time out to talk to us on the Race to Dubai show. Have a really good finish to the season on the Race to Dubai, and hopefully you'll just nip inside that top 50 and you'll be off to Augusta.
Yeah, good luck.
I hope so. Pleasure, guys. Thanks again.
Take care, Ross.
Bye.
Cheers.
Yeah, it's good to hear from Ross. He is a very talented ball striker, and he's moving along very nicely. And it wouldn't surprise me if he has a really, really strong finish in the final series. Now, let's spare a thought for Matt Kuchar. The American made a hole-in-one at the 17th on Saturday, only to be told that he wouldn't win a brand-new Cadillac because the tee had been moved forward, which negated the organiser's insurance policy.
My caddy alerted me saying, it says it's under 200, so it doesn't count for the hole in one. So literally a minute before my shot, I found out, hard to believe, that I made the shot. I guess the way to describe it was just the saddest hole in one, in that, you know, I knew I just made a hole in one, and I was teased by this beautiful car sitting there that was not to be mine.
I don't think Matt needs a car, does he?
No, it would have taken some getting on the plane as well.
Quite interesting, though, that he found out and then he holed it.
Yeah, 5-iron, I think he hit, right down the flag. It was a great shot. But
well, it went in, didn't it?
It did go in.
Yeah, I mean...
In the middle, actually.
Nothing revelationary there from you to say it was a great shot?
No.
No? Excellent.
But there have been other strange ones.
I've never had a hole-in-one. Never had one.
You've never had a hole-in-one?
That's right. I've never had a hole-in-one. Because the hole's only that big, and when you're 200 yards from it, it's quite hard to get it in there.
Oh, dear.
Yes, how many you had?
8.
Have you?
Yes.
Any prizes?
No, I hold 2 weeks running on tour and didn't win anything.
Really? That's grim, that is.
I know. 3-iron in Germany at Hubble Rath at 11.
See, you're better off with none.
5-iron at the Belfry at the 7th.
Oh, stop it.
The following week, nothing.
Oh, that's terrible. Not even a bottle of shampoo?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful, John.
And yet Jimenez, every time he holds it, wins a car.
He's got a garage.
He's full of cars.
Full of brand new motors.
No, it's just one of those things.
It's one of those things. But at least, you know, you did the deed.
It fell in uphill at the Belfry. I couldn't believe it. Because the green's like that.
Let me think of 7th at the Belfry. Oh, yes, I got it.
Yeah. I'd walked about 7 yards and then it fell in.
Oh, it sort of balanced on the lip.
And fell uphill.
That's amazing.
It was.
So no, nothing for Kuchar, nothing for Hawksworth with his career of 8 holes in one. John, please, the top 10 from the WGC HSBC champions.
Right, well, we know that Hideki Matsuyama prevailed in the end by 7 shots from Daniel Berger, the American, and Henrik Stenson. 4th tied was Bill Haas, another American, Rory McIlroy, then 6th tied Ross Fisher, Ricky Fowler, Francesco Molinari, who's a former champion there. 9th tied was Sergio Garcia, Russell Knox, defending champion, and then 11th was Emiliano Grillo.
Now, on the fancy Race to Dubai tips, I stuck my neck out and went for Rory McIlroy, who finished 4th.
Very good.
And Gordon Brown Jr., in your absence, went for Dustin Johnson, 35th. So roundly thrash, Brown Jr. Your top 10 from the Race to Dubai, please, John.
Right, Henrik Stenson now leads the Race to Dubai from Danny Willett. Rory McIlroy's 3rd. Alex Noren, 4th. Tyrrell Hatton, 5th. Cabrera Bayo, 6th. Louis Oosthuizen, 7th. Chris Wood, 8th. Brandon Grace, 9th. And Lee Westwood, 10th.
Now, on the fancy Race to Dubai, Tracy Telford's team, Tellyman, won the most points from the WGC HSBC champions, with Henrik Stenson as captain, Rory McIlroy as vice-captain, and Francesco Molinari, Emiliano Grillo, and Alex Noren, who all finished inside the top 15. However, Thomas Edling still leads the overall standings. Remember, check out the European Tour website this week, the Fantasy 3 to watch at the Turkish Airlines Open. In other news, on the European Challenge Tour, Jordan Smith claimed a 2nd win of the year at the Ras Al Khaimah 2016 Golf Challenge. It means the Englishman secures top spot heading into the Road to Oman season finale this week. Francesco Molinari has been crowned Hilton European Tour Golfer of the Month for September after winning the Italian Open for a 2nd time. And on the PGA Tour, Cody Gribble, playing in only his 8th event, has won the Sanderson Farms Championship in Mississippi. The 26-year-old finished 4 shots clear of fellow American Chris Kirk. Top 10 in the world rankings, please, John.
Jason Day still leads that from Rory McIlroy, who's up to 2nd. Dustin Johnson, 3rd. Stenson, 4th. Jordan Spieth, 5th. Hideki Matsuyama, 6th. Adam Scott, 7th. Patrick Reed, 8th. Bubba Watson, 9th. And now Danny Willett is down to 10th.
Now, I've got a listener's question from David Bartlett this week. And his question is, John, what is the best advice to get to a single-figure handicap from 10.1? So he's on the cusp of breaking into the nines. Best advice?
I'd say work on your short game. You can obviously hit the ball quite nicely, but your short game is definitely where you can gain shots on a golf course. Holding 1 or 2 extra putts, So I would work on the short game, out of traps, chipping round the green.
But what if his short game's mustard and it's the tee to green game that needs working on?
I'd have a lesson then.
Yeah, good idea.
Club up as well, I would say.
Do you think most amateurs always end up a little bit short?
Yeah, I do. I think they tend to kid themselves on how far they can hit the ball. If you look at most golf courses, the trouble is at the front of the green. Club up, especially at this time of the year when it's damp, the golf courses, ball doesn't roll that far. Try and play to the back of the green. You'd be surprised how many times you finish in the middle.
Well, there you are, David. That's the top tip from John Hawksworth. He has assumed that you're a little bit iffy from tee to green, so make sure that you work on that short game to get into the 9s, 8s, maybe even 7 handicap. Why not?
And let us know when you do.
Yeah, let us know when you do, absolutely. And if John was any help at all, you'll be the first one he's ever helped anywhere. Don't forget, if you have any questions for us, tweet us at European Tour with the hashtag ETPodcast, and we'll answer them next week and the subsequent weeks following. So the next tournament now is the Turkish Airlines Open, John. It's the first of three massive events at the end of the European Tour season to determine who will be the top dog.
Yeah, it's a new course this year, so the players will have to get used to that. De Buisson won this event on a different golf course last year, but normally the weather's fantastic down there. It's well supported. They put on a great event, and many of the top stars are going.
Well, what a chance, because a lot of the players that are playing here, some of the top dogs have stayed away. What a chance for them to you know, when the cat's away, the mice can play. There's a colossal check there for somebody.
And not only one check, there's many colossal checks. Yeah, but the likes of Danny Willis will be there. Tyrrell Hatton, Lee Westwood, Wiesberger, Sullivan's going down there. Kelson's had a great season again. JD, Andrew Johnston, Scott Hend, who's won this year. So it's a chance. Alex Levy, who won in recently at the Porsche in Germany, he's going down there. Always good to watch. Nicholas Coulthard. So it is a chance for somebody to win a huge amount of money, but not us, Robert.
No, not us. And also, more importantly, make a big thrust up that race to Dubai.
Well, that's right.
That's what it's all about.
As we get towards the end now, what have we got? Turkey, and then we have South Africa, and then we have Dubai for the finale. Three massive tournaments, and it's going to and fro now over the next 3 weeks.
Well, we've got a new venue to savour in Turkey. We've got a lot of top players playing. Who have you picked?
I'm going for Tyrrell Hatton.
Are you?
I am.
He's been impressive, hasn't he? His win in, at the Dunhill was brilliant.
He's gone up a gear, I think, and he played well, pretty well after his win, which is not always easy to do. So that is mine. Yours?
I'm going to counter that because we had a French winner last year, Victor De Buisson, who's been, by his standards, a little bit off the pace. I'm going to go with his fellow countryman, Alex Levy.
I thought you might.
Did you?
Yes.
But you didn't say so I'll never know, will I?
No.
No. Excellent.
Good luck.
So it's my Levy versus your
Hatton.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's all for now. Please join us next week when we will review the Turkish Airlines Open and look ahead to the Nedbank Golf Challenge from the Gary Player Country Club. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And tweet us your questions to @EuropeanTour with the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from John Hawksworth, who's gone for
Tyrrell Hatton,
and myself, Robert Lee, who's gone for Alex Levy, it's goodbye.